Oh my god.
We gotta talk about that.
Yes.
I wanna, maybe we'll, like, talk in more detail about this, or, like, try to get a guest or someone, but I just got another tattoo.
Oh, I saw. So, that I did see.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I'd been avoiding the Facebooks because I hadn't watched Guardians. Like I said last time, I hadn't been watched Guardians. But I did get to see it. So.
Me too. We could talk about that.
Oh, cool.
Yes. All right. Okay. So we'll just ask how we're doing. Are we recording?
Yes. No, I'm probably gonna like edit
you know
this or something, or just like have it fade in or something like that.
Anyways. I'm quitting my job to join the Marijuana League. Oh. Fuck it. That reporter is like everyone's hero. Have you seen that?
Oh yes.
There's that woman who quit her job as a newscaster.
Yeah. In the middle, like in the middle of a report.
Yeah. Because it was like a kind of, it was about the vote in Alaska to, I guess, legalize maybe medical marijuana. Probably not like recreational, but probably medical. And she's like, fuck it. And the,
it just like walks off and then it switches back to the reporter and she's like blinking a few moments. And just
we apologize. Yeah, we apologize for that. We'll be right back in other news. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
What's the name of our podcast?
Oh, this is the Wayward Podcast. I am Toshi.
I'm Sarah.
And, yeah, we actually got the mics working properly this time.
Yay.
So apparently it wasn't that bad last time. The last episode, which should be called Toshi Fucks Up.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yes, but apparently, but we got a comment saying it wasn't that bad, so.
Yeah,
that
was, we got that was a comment.
Reassuring. Well. One, you know, for every person who raises their voice, there are at least like 10 people who say nothing. So
yeah, that's true.
That's kind of what you learn. Like I've learned on Kotaku, the vocal idiot minority is usually the one that writes in comments that we have to.
There's a hanger behind you moving.
What? it's the air conditioner.
I know.
You got me to look behind.
You allowed
me to look behind myself. Oh yeah. Damn you. So, what have you been doing since our last recording?
Well, I had a nasty case of strep throat.
Dengue fever?
No. Although I got a funny story that I probably shouldn't mention, but maybe next podcast
Considering this week's topic, I'm probably going to say a lot of shit that I'm going to have to edit later.
Oh, a lot of secrets, which
yeah.
We'll talk about in a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I had strep throat. On that 3-day week, we had a 3-day weekend and it was wasted with strep. And then I had to take 2 days off of work and I was supposed to take all of this week off, I have to go into work tomorrow.
Oh,
today's Wednesday. Yep. So,
yeah, we're recording a little later than usual.
Yeah. Because things,
we'll get into that too.
And I also got a new tattoo. Woo-hoo. Yay.
It's a nice contrast with the one you already had.
So. Yeah. So I have now 2 crews. On my back.
Yep.
This one's a skeleton version with some feathers.
Looks really
and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it was not pleasant getting it.
Ooh.
I feel like it hurt more this time. It was the same guy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know. It just like kind of depends on like how much adrenaline is running through your system. I think maybe because the last one was my first one. I was so pumped with adrenaline that it didn't hurt that much until the end. But this one was like, and I'm friends with the artist's girlfriend, and she's French, and we were watching Game of Thrones season 4 while we're getting it done and like commenting on it. And you know what? Here's a challenge for all the Game of Thrones fans. Try to remember characters' names as you're getting a tattoo. Because I was sitting there like, why is oh, fuck, what's her name? Oh, God. And then my friend was like, what? Who? And I was like, the woman, the guy.
With the hair.
The Baratheon. And she's like, Melisandre? I'm like, no, the Stannis.
Stanley. Right.
Yeah, so that was me getting a tattoo. But other than that, I've been kind of like sitting around watching stuff because sick, and my tattoo's on my shoulder, so I can't like really lift my left arm that much. Mm. So, cause I gotta let it heal. You can't move it too much. Mm. And it's, yeah, so I snuck into Yoyogi Park.
Okay.
It was, it's really? Quarantined. It's okay.
Wait, you snuck into it?
Oh yeah. So,
okay, this is going to be interesting.
Nobody knows my real last name, but I mean, like the Tokyo Police Department's going to be listening to our podcast and they care. So I will probably post pictures on Twitter of this, but it's gated off. Yoyogi Park, the entrances are gated off
with
like chain link fence like orange, like, caution like boards,
mm-hmm.
and in different languages it says do not enter, risk of disease or something like that. In English it's so ominous, and a friend of mine who I'm not gonna name, but Toshi, you know him, I don't want to like rat him out,
mm-hmm.
we were drunk in Shibuya and we started hanging out with these like 20 year olds and we're like, God, we're so old. And we, the guy, my friend, goes, let's sneak into Yoyogi Park. So we go and we climbed over the fence and, like, there were different fences, like this is your last warning kind of thing.
Was it, like, in like, tiers or something? Like, so there's like, an internal fence and an out external fence?
A fence on the Shibuya side.
Mm-hmm.
By the bridge. So we climbed over that. Then there was another fence,
it's
on
like
the
zombie outbreak.
I know! It was awesome! I was like scared and fangirling at the same time. I had to crawl under a fence. That felt really like zombie outbreak kind of thing. And the water fountain parts and the lake and stuff, there are fences all around it with like cone, like orange pylons and like warnings and stuff.
That's where the mosquitoes breed. So.
And mosquitoes heed warnings. But I mean, it was like 3 a.m. and it was too cold for mosquitoes. So like we didn't get bit.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all been bit. But it was so freaky.
Wow.
It's like the park was obviously dead.
Deserted, yeah.
And I was like, I swear to God, if there is a zombie in here, I'm going to be like, I knew it! I knew it! I knew it wasn't dengue fever! I knew it was a zombie outbreak.
Wow.
So, that was my adventure.
Okay.
And now, I understand you had a very exhausting weekend.
Well, before that, something we talked about last time was the Supernatural mockumentary.
Yes!
Yes. So that was a lot of fun. That was a shit ton of fun. I didn't realize Jared Padalecki was bald.
He's not bald.
It's not a wig. It's not a wig.
Did you see the, like, there's like a deleted scene where he's, oh wait, I don't remember if it's in the deleted scene.
I think it's called in the
credits. Where he like knocks over his like award that he has on the table and he goes, see what you made me do.
I think that was like
that was in it. That was my favorite part.
In the credits
just like,
or something.
He's just like sitting there and he like knocks it. Like the guy's like, so it's a wig or something like that.
So he asks him something about his hair and he's just like, bam! Look what you made me do. that whole thing through and through was just like the fact that it's riffing on itself.
Yeah,
that was so much fun. Just like what was it? Jensen, Jensen, Jensen's whole like sort of hippie.
Yeah, he's like a metro, like yuppie kind of health
nut. And it's just like, and then it's because they, well, the setup is that it's being videotaped by, well, videotaped. It's videoed by a fan who won a contest.
Yeah.
And she gets to, you know, stand in and see, like, the filming and, like, go to the set and, like, meet the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And, Misha Collins basically takes her around.
Yeah.
But, so the thing is that, like, Jensen Ackles has this bad boy image that he's trying to preserve.
He's like Dean.
Yeah, but in real life, he's actually this yuppie. He eats yogurt. He does yoga. Things
this
like that.
This like mud mask, and he listens to like sounds of the American Northwest or something like that.
He's like, no, that's not it. What are we listening to? That's not mine. And Jared Padalecki is this badass who's got these bodyguards and all this.
And he's like completely full of himself. Like he's on the phone with the director or something like that. And he's like, he's working out and he's like, let me put you down for a sec. And he puts the phone down. And he just like checks himself out in a mirror. Is it really bad that I'm like disgustingly attracted to that version of Jared Padalecki? Oh. And it's like nicknamed it. What the fuck? He's nicknamed Douche Jared on Tumblr.
And like, what?
Douche Jared.
And Misha has to film a scene, a stunt scene that he's supposed to do himself. And like, later on, it's just like, I don't know who approved that. Like, nobody would let him do that.
Dmitry Krushner. it's Misha. When it says Misha on your passport, I'll call you Misha.
A lot of inside jokey stuff.
Oh yeah.
If you're a Supernatural fan, you definitely have to see it. Is it on YouTube? It was
no. It was. It might be actually. I think there. It's part of. I don't know. I think it's on the season 9 DVD box set or something.
Oh, okay.
So I think they've been going around trying to take it down.
So it may not be where you showed it.
Yeah. But buy the season 9 DVD or Blu-ray box set, and you can watch it.
And it's
because that's how I saw it. Wink.
And I was in the same room and watched it too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I let you watch it.
Yep. A lot of fun.
Give more money to Supernatural because they need it.
Yes. The CW because, yeah.
And the next time we do the podcast, I think the new season
will have started.
So we'll have a lot to talk about then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that would be cool. Wait, what's the exact date of the premiere?
October 7th.
Cool.
So we'll see it on the 8th. Or when it comes out in Japan on DVD.
Most definitely. In
2050.
Well, actually, as I've said, I think I mentioned it before.
Yeah.
The PlayStation Network actually is pretty good about getting, I think they've got all of, like, rentals. Mm-hmm. I think they've got season 9. They've got season 8. And
they
just started season 9, I think. But the PlayStation Network, Japanese PlayStation Network actually has up to season 9, like all of them. And subtitles and everything, so.
It's, like, surprisingly still popular. I was walking down the street wearing one of my Supernatural t-shirts, and some guy was just, like, looking at his phone, and then he looks up, and he looks at my t-shirt, and he points, and he goes, oh!
What, a Japanese person?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, mm-hmm. But it's mostly popular with guys here, I think.
Yeah, it's more of a guy
show. Yeah, because it's too kawaii.
Yeah. As I said, I'm showing my girlfriend the ad.
Yeah.
We're starting from season 1, and she cannot watch it alone, so I have
She's just got to get over season 1, and then
then
we'll get to, it was the heat of the moment.
Oh, God. Way too inside
joking. Don't sue us. Don't sue us, Asia. Super band Asia.
Yeah.
Super group.
So, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Supernatural fans should check it out if you haven't already. And
people who don't watch Supernatural should watch Supernatural and then check it out.
Yes.
See you in a year after you're finished watching it.
Yeah, only 9 seasons. Not that
long. Yeah, it's not that bad.
Anyway. Moving on, how much of Steins Gate have you watched?
Four episodes.
So you're not really into the meat of it yet.
No. Okay. I think it's pretty funny though. Yep. Like, I couldn't really get what was going on in the first episode.
Yeah, it's very obtuse in the very first episode. It does not, but it slowly draws you in, and it, you know, sort of fills out. So, but
I think the characters are kind of neat. Mm-hmm. I like that the what's his name? Okarin.
Oh, Mayushi.
Yeah. No, the guy.
Oh.
Scientist?
Oh, Okabe.
Hoin.
Hoin Kyoma, yes. Yes,
His name is like, if you spell it out in Roman letters, H-O-U-O-U-I-N. Hoin.
Yep. Yeah, he has this persona that he uses, but...
Yeah.
So you're at episode 4, which means...
They just discovered...
Have they found out how to do it?
The microwave is a time machine.
Okay. That's all we need to know. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, spoilers.
It's going to get... we're going to spoil it when we talk about it. But yeah, it's going to get interesting from there.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
I think it's funny. I like how Hoin is kind of weird and paranoid. And he's like talking about the organization. And everyone's always like... What organization? It's like, the organization is an organization. Come on, give me the program.
As I said, he's got that sort of living in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
That he's not ready to admit is a fantasy.
That sounds like me.
Not while I'm drinking. So I guess we can get back to that in depth another time.
Yeah.
When you've completed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it goes interesting places.
Mm.
So anyways, getting to this week. This episode's topic. I gotta stop saying week. I really do. But this is gonna end up being a week.
On a very special episode of the Wayward Podcast. Yes. Toshi, is that drugs?
What are you talking about? No, man. No.
What kind of drugs?
I'm fine, man. No. So, this past week, which is kind of the reason why we're recording late, but Japan had its big gaming event, Tokyo Game Show.
That it seemed like everyone went to.
Really?
Except for me. Like, a lot of people on my Facebook friends.
Really?
They went, Anyway, sorry.
As press, as part of Kotaku, yes, I get to go on the press days.
I don't get to sit with these pedestrians in the press.
These Mongolites, no.
Hey, don't say that.
No, but, I got to get in, see a lot of stuff, got exclusive stuff like that. Honestly, this is my third Tokyo Game Show I've been to, and I've been telling people this over and over again, but the first time I went, it was my first time going to Tokyo Game Show. I hadn't really experienced it before. I'd seen news, things like that, but I hadn't really gone there. Mm-hmm. So, I had no basis of comparison. So it was cool. It was a great experience. But it was my first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time I went, which was last year, was apparently, according to someone I talked to, like the worst Tokyo Game Show he'd ever been to.
Really? Why?
And I could feel it too. Like overall, there was this atmosphere of, I won't call it desperation, but a sort of kind of just sort of floundering. You know, you could kind of, it was, I mean, a lot of people have said, like, the gaming in Japan is, like, dying off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything's moving to the West, you know, everything's, all the games are becoming, like, you know, Western games, shooters.
Yeah.
Like, those are becoming more popular while Japan-specific games are slowly dying off, you know, and, you know, games like, long-standing game series, like, you know, like, Final Fantasy are, like, tapering off, sort of, like, you know, you can't really tell what the hell they're doing. They're sort of like losing popularity. Everything's dying off. And last year, it really felt like I could like actually see the cracks in the porcelain.
Mm,
there was this kind of, yeah, we're just doing this because this is what we did.
Like, look at us. Yeah, we're still
like
here.
Some places there was a sense of like desperation, mm-hmm. and other places there was just a sense of kind of apathy. Like, we're just doing this because it's what we do every year. I got to see some like Xbox stuff, Xbox One, because it hadn't been out in Japan yet at the time, and there was this kind of just going through the motions. Obviously they probably weren't feeling this way, but as an observer, mm-hmm. it felt like their hearts weren't really into it.
That's sad. There's nothing sadder than an industry show where the industry doesn't care.
Yeah, and there wasn't all that much to show though on the mm-hmm. show floor. I mean, there was some cool stuff, like the Metal Gear Solid 5 footage was pretty cool, but that's Hideo Kojima. He does cool stuff all the time like that. Like he's a genius at putting on a show, and like teasing. He's really good at that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there was like really not all that much that really came to the front. Mm-hmm. But this year, on the other hand, was amazing.
So, it looked like there were a lot of
there was a lot more content, and I could feel like I went into this year was just like. It was just like, this is my, it's only my third year, and yet I was kind of getting tired of it. I was just here we go. And, every year, before Tokyo Game Show, Bandai Namco has mm-hmm. this pre-TGS, not so much show, but like they have like a press junket mm-hmm. that we go to. And this is my third time going to it, and I've been to Bandai Namco like 9 or 10 times now. I've like gone to that mm-hmm. place so many times. I'm kind of getting sick of that building. but, I actually don't mean that. It's actually I like that play. I love Bandai Namco, except they go overjoy with the DLC. But that so I was going there. I was just like, okay, here we go again. Because last year when I went there, it was kind of meh, and I went this year and there was just kind of enthusiasm and like everyone was really mm-hmm. into it. Even the people who didn't really have that much to show, mm-hmm. you could tell there was this earnestness to what they were saying and what they were doing. Like, we really want to do this sort of thing. And that really came across to me, and I was just like, oh wow, I'm really getting into this. And then I talked after the whole press stuff, there was a Sony announcement, which was honestly very iffy. Well, it's because China lifted their ban on game consoles.
Oh, really?
So Sony is making a push to sell stuff, you know, sell PS4s, sell content in China.
Oh, my God.
So it's basically they were just reannouncing stuff that's already going to come out or has come out in Japan, but just like Chinese versions or Korean versions. And so it was a very closed door event. There was, I couldn't get in. Like my editor, he got in because, not because he was, on behalf of Kotaku. Mm-hmm. But because he also has a job reporting for the Japan Times. I don't know how much of this I should say.
Oops.
Well, no, that's public knowledge. He writes for the Japan Times.
Yeah.
But he got in on those press credentials, and I couldn't get in.
Wow, so, and Kotaku is, like, the biggest video game blog.
it's not the biggest. I'd like to say that, but we're not.
It's one of the most famous,
It is one of the biggest.
Highest traffic.
Yeah, we get, like, monthly we get, like, 8 million.
That's so unbelievable.
Sorry, 8 million in the US, I like 14 million 14 million worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get into this event.
And I couldn't get in.
So, so does China have its own consoles that it makes?
I'm really not 100% at liberty, like, sure, I couldn't really tell you. I think they have a lot of their own custom stuff. They have a good deal of like people selling foreign consoles, like black market.
Well, yeah, because
not officially, but
basically in China, if you make anything like outside of China, there will be a black market version of
there
it
will
in
be,
China.
There will be a copy version. They'll be like, yeah, they bring stuff like a PSP is where the inside was like a Game Gear and shit like that. This is actually a kind of a big opportunity for Sony and Microsoft, like to get it, because China, they've got like, what, 4 billion people?
A billion.
A billion, I'm sorry. They've got a billion people there.
They have like a billion people there. Yeah.
And so that's a huge market for them.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of warily gonna push into the Asian market.
Oh man, China's gonna ban like every single game though, because they have Well, yeah, but I mean they have like really strict profanity laws and violence and stuff like that. So yeah. Like,
and basically, anything that's like anti-government is just not.
Oh yeah, like what kind of family-friendly games does Sony make?
Things like Little Big Planet, obviously, like that's a game where you can custom build your own levels. I mean, it's got its base single-player game, but it's also a largely creative game where you can build your own levels with a lot of freedom with that.
Oh, too much freedom. banned in China.
Okay, so that one's out. But honestly, there are a lot of games that are coming out, and I guess it would be exciting, except it's not really new news.
Yeah.
So it was.
It's good for people in China, I guess.
Obviously, I mean China and Korea, so they can have more Western. They can have more entertainment.
Yeah.
What am I talking about?
Japan entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so that event was kind of. It was honestly it. I guess from a certain perspective, it's exciting, but. Mm-hmm. For us, like, trying to report, it was just like, we're not getting anything from this.
Yeah.
And so after that, I met up with my editor, and we had a drink or two, mm-hmm. and we were talking, and he told me that something amazing, they had a huge scoop.
Ooh.
At Square Enix.
Huh?
And, yeah. So, I don't know if anybody's read Kotaku or read any of the other sites, but... Final Fantasy XV, which has long been vaporware for a while. Mm-hmm. It was originally... Oh, God. I have to explain this. Originally, Final Fantasy XIII yes, came out about, I think, 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
And when it came out, Square Enix announced it would be a series of three different games. There would be Final Fantasy XIII, which would be the base game.
Yeah.
Then there would be Final Fantasy XIII Agito. Mm-hmm. Which would be for the PSP, and it would be, I think it was a multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be another game for the PS3, which would be Final Fantasy Versus 13. And Final Fantasy Versus 13, Final Fantasy Agito eventually came out. They changed the title. It became Final Fantasy Type Zero.
Okay.
And it came out on the PSP. And that's actually getting an HD remaster and coming out on the PS4, I think.
Okay.
And Final Fantasy Versus 13 was set to be directed by Tetsuya Nomura, the guy who designed Cloud, who designed the characters for Final Fantasy VII.
I know that name!
Yes, he is the director of Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts is basically his baby.
And I did play Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
Yes, and so he was a very new generation game designer, game creator, and... He kind of got, this is mostly my opinion, but he kind of got a little bit too much power within Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Final Fantasy Versus 13 was announced, he's been designing the characters for Final Fantasy series for a while now. And he was to head that. He was to helm that. And it went nowhere. And it just, I mean, they released, when the first Final Fantasy 13 came out, I think, when the demo came out. They brought out a demo. More explanation. They made a full...
Be patient with me, please.
I feel like I'm gonna bore people with this, but, because most people who are fans of the series know this already, but Final Fantasy VII has a lot of spin-offs. One of the spin-offs was a full CG movie called Final Fantasy VII...
Advent Children.
Thank you.
I saw that.
And when the Blu-ray version came out, they put it out on Blu-ray, and with the Blu-ray, they included a demo for Final Fantasy XIII and a demo trailer for Final Fantasy Versus XIII. And that was, you know, that got a lot of hype, a lot of press, a lot of interest in it. And then after that, there was virtually nothing from Versus 13. And my editor got an inside scoop. Basically, somebody on the inside told him that the Versus 13 team was basically gone.
Why?
That was an empty shell. Basically, the whole project basically fell apart, was what it happened. And they were going to move all the resources over to the next Final Fantasy, which was Final Fantasy 15.
What about 14?
14 was an online game that they were developing at the time.
Okay.
And that already came out. And he was told basically the next Final Fantasy after that, 15, they're going to move all the resources to that. And he reported on this, and basically inside Square Enix, they freaked. They're like, how the hell did this get out? Like, who the fuck leaked this? They were really pissed.
That you're...
Well, no, they couldn't get pissed at my editor. They couldn't get pissed at Kotaku because we didn't leak something that they had specifically told us not to. This was something that was leaked to us and we were under no contractual obligation to not report this. So we could report it and we did. And so the year after that, which was, I think, two years ago, TGS, apparently, like, the security for Square Enix went way up. Like, you know, reporting, like, taking pictures of stuff at their booth and stuff like that, you had to jump through hoops to do all this. Because they were very paranoid. Obviously so, because somebody had basically spilled the beans on something huge. And what came to pass is that they announced Final Fantasy XV at, I think, last year's E3, which was, and it basically reported exactly what my editor reported, which was that Versus 13 was gone, and now they're making Final Fantasy 15.
Okay.
And it basically moved all the characters, all the story, all that settings to that. So, what my editor reported, and I can talk about this because it's already what do you call that? The embargo has already been lifted on this information, was basically that Tetsuya Nomura was off Final Fantasy 15. He was no longer involved with it. He was now only working on Kingdom Hearts 3 and Kingdom Hearts 3 alone.
Huh.
So they brought on a new director. I forget his first name, but his last name is Tabata. He worked on, I think, Type-0. Final Fantasy Type-0 was one of his projects. I think he worked on something else. I don't remember what it was off the top of my head. But he's been brought on to Final Fantasy 15, and he was brought on 2 years ago. So Final Fantasy 15 has only been in development for 2 years.
That's really short.
It's been basically up in the air for 7 years, but it's only actually been in development for 2 years. And they're about halfway done with it.
Wow.
And I showed you the trailer.
But yeah.
It looks amazing.
It does. Like, Toshi was showing me, and I thought it was a cutscene, but it was in-game graphics, and it was just gorgeous.
Anyone who's seen the trailer, if you've seen the trailer, there's a scene where there's airships flying. That is the only cutscene. Yeah. Everything else in that trailer, look at it again if you haven't seen it, is in-game. Everything is the Luminous engine, the Luminous Studio engine.
So what's the plot going to be?
I don't know.
It's like, all we know is it's guys.
Four effeminate bros in a car traveling. That's basically all we know, really. Story-wise, there have been some revolution. The main character, apparently he was the son of someone important. We don't really know. Mm-hmm. He apparently has this weird teleporting ability that they've shown in a lot of trailers and gameplay stuff. But story-wise, no idea.
The setting looks like California or something
Very modern.
Yeah.
They've shown stuff like, they actually have like police cars and stuff like that. And so it's a very modern, but with fantasy, it's like, up until now, Final Fantasy has always been like, I guess you could say 70-80% fantasy with like 20% futuristic or...
And there's some like science fiction.
Yeah, sort of like, it's either lost technology that's brought back or it's futuristic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Final Fantasy 15, it seems to be almost the reverse. It's closer, I mean, I think Final Fantasy 13 was a lot like that too, where it's very modern futuristic with fantasy elements. So...
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so the big news was that Nomura is off 15. He's been off it for a while now. And it's pretty much half done. They're going to release a demo with the, when Final Fantasy Type-0 HD comes out next year, I think next March, they're going to be releasing a playable demo that's going to be about an hour long if you just, like, run straight through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of exploring you can do. You can probably get about, like, 5 or 6 hours out of it, 4 or 5, 6
wow.
hours. So it's a kind of generous demo, and what I've seen of it, it looks pretty damn awesome. So,
what was the line that they said at the end?
Oh, like, it's been a long time coming, you know, sorry for the wait, we're almost there. It's just like, there's a line at the end of the trailer, it's just like, That's totally like a message.
Yeah, like a character says it, yeah. Like, it's been a long time coming, yeah. As like the sun sets or rises, like, I don't remember.
At the moon or something like that, but basically it's like, and yeah, sorry to keep you waiting, we're almost there. And that's definitely a message to the fans, just that way they've kept waiting for so long. So, I'm like, up until now, I was just like, oh, this is, like, it felt like Square Enix is, like I said, like, it felt like Square Enix has been treading water, mm-hmm. Just like, what are they doing? Nobody, you know, it seems running around like a chicken with their head cut off. But actually seeing that trailer and seeing the game, you know, even the actual in-game footage, they actually showed some, you know, they actually brought an actual playable, they showed some playable stuff at TGS. I'm actually genuinely excited. This is the first time I've been excited for a Final Fantasy title in a while.
What's the game style? Because all I know, like, about Final Fantasy, or the Final Fantasy games that I've played, which were 5 mm-hmm. and 10. Those are the only ones I've played.
Okay. It's more closer to 10 than 5. If anything, from what I've seen, it looks closer to 13.
Is it turn-based kind of stuff?
It looks real-time.
Okay. Because, like, one of the reasons why I never really got into Final Fantasy was because, like, when I was playing video games, the Final Fantasy games that were coming out mm-hmm. were turn-based. Yes. And I don't like that. I like platformer kind of stuff, like adventure.
More like an action RPG.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you press the button and your character actually, like, swings the sword yeah. instead of waiting for his turn.
Because I'm like, why are you waiting? Yeah. Just punch him in the face. Come on.
Just hit him, man. He's right there.
That's probably why I liked Kingdom Hearts, because it had the Final Fantasy style, mm-hmm. And it was really easy.
But it was also there was platforming elements.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, you press the button and he swings his sword.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a, like, stupidly easy game, especially the second one. Mm-hmm. Like, they tell you exactly what to do at all times. But,
I
kind of like
the first one. I've only played the first one because I played the first one and I was just like, I got through it, I cleared it, I was just like, I'm full.
Yeah. Yeah. The second one is pretty, mm-hmm. but I like it. I like that kind of stuff.
I'm not saying anything. It's like, just for me, I was just like, that's enough for me. I've eaten my fill.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot more. I mean, it's got its fans, and they mm-hmm. love it, and for good reason. So, yeah. I mean, it is the series is definitely a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if I get a chance, I'll probably play it. But it's gotten to the point where it's just like I'm so far behind because there's like this final. There's Kingdom Hearts. I played Kingdom Hearts 2. There's Kingdom Hearts like what was it? Something
Unchained
Days,
Unchained Memories,
yeah. Dream Drop Distance.
Yeah.
There's the one that was one for the PSP. I forget which one that one's. And then there's
Kingdom Hearts, the Kingdom Heartening.
There's altogether like 6 games.
Yeah. I've only played 2.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wish I had more patience for video games.
I wish
games.
I had time. I really do. Cause like, those are like 30 hour games.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I think, like, the Final Fantasy games take a long time, don't they?
Yeah.
Because you gotta, like, build up level and stuff. I don't have patience for that. Yeah. Like, leveling up and stuff. Like, the game that I really love, like, I guess it came out when I was probably junior high school and then high school. Mm-hmm. The 2 Zelda games for the Nintendo 64. Those were the only games...
Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Those were the only games that I really had the patience to play, and those can be really frustrating. Mm. And then like the Mario games, that's it. Sorry, I'm such a bad nerd. I like watching people play video games. I think that's fun.
No Supernatural.
No. No demon blood for me.
No demon blood until you get through the entire Metal Gear series. Speaking of which, Metal Gear Solid 5 is actually looking a lot of fun.
I saw that one of the decoys you can throw out is Lisa from PT.
Yep. I think she actually appears in the game, which was kind of interesting because in Gamescom, there's a lot of game events that happen like within months of each other. There's E3, there's mm-hmm. Gamescom, I think there's GDC, and then I think there's TGS.
It's yeah.
Like, and there's also PAX, so stuff yeah. like that. So it's just like there's just during from summer to fall, there's just like a shit ton of game events that mm-hmm. happen at the same time. And by the time TGS comes around, I get worried that they're going to have nothing to talk about.
Yeah. But there's nothing new.
Yeah, like everything that's going to be announced has been already been announced, but which was very, which again was one reason I was very surprised this time with all the Square Enix stuff, mm-hmm. and also with Metal Gear, because Kojima, Hideo Kojima had already talked at Gamescom. His presentation at Gamescom was basically he didn't talk about Metal Gear Solid 5 at all. It was like all PT.
Yeah,
and he actually brought some new stuff to the table at TGS, which I found surprising and really cool. He actually showed some of the gameplay outside of like a desert. Because mm-hmm. up until now, like all the game demo stuff he's shown has been like in the desert, riding the horse, going to the town, like going to like the shack and like capturing people and setting up in balloons and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't seen it.
It must be totally confusing what I'm talking about. But
horse shack, got
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you get to see the horse poop.
Yeah, it's of like, course. Oh yeah, that makes sense because horses poop.
But I mean, the game looks really cool. It uses the Fox engine, which is Konami's, or the Metal Gear companies,
the engine.
And, okay, the engine for that they're going to be using for all the games.
Is that the right word?
Yes.
Oh my god.
No, it's not, but proprietary, thank you.
I feel like I'm Steve Rogers trying to,
when we have our music episode, I'm going to be in your place.
Well, I'm, like, out of the loop there as well, but, I mean, well, anyway.
But, you know.
Tell me more about the Xboxes.
Yes. I'll get to that. Anyways,
is there a Y box?
No. There's going to be Xbox 180. Anyways, old joke, sorry.
Xbox 90.
But, where was I? Oh, yes, Metal Gear. It looks cool. It looks, the story looks grim as fuck.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it's
Solid Snake having a bad day.
Yeah. he's not Solid Snake. He's actually a big boss, but again, convoluted story. Not gonna get into
it. Okay.
That. Yeah, your eyes glazed over.
I know is Solid Snake. Don't ask. That's all I have to give you.
Which is interesting because the only Metal Gear Solid games I've played, the only Metal Gear Solid game I've played to completion is mm-hmm. 3. I have not completed the other games.
Why not?
Let's see, 2, I never really got into.
Okay.
4, it was at a point where like, I don't know what's going on because I hadn't played 1, mm-hmm. 1 or 2. So I didn't really understand a lot. I knew, like, who some people were, but the character I was most interested in, who was the main character from 3, who is not Solid Snake, who is Big Boss. Again, it's a convoluted story, but
okay.
Solid Snake is actually a clone of Big Boss. Big Boss is actually the really main interesting character, because he's the bad guy.
Which one was naked in one of them?
That was Big Boss.
Okay.
He starts out because he's Snake, but, you know, he's codenamed Snake, but they call him Naked Snake. Each time he gets a different name. Anyways,
I should take a picture of my face being confused.
And we'll post it with this episode. But
yeah, I'll do it. Keep talking.
But Hideo Kojima himself has said it, but his favorite character is Big Boss, because Big Boss is actually the character who actually has a really interesting story arc, because he was a guy who was essentially disheartened. Like, he lost his faith, and he was trying to fight for what he believed in, and he basically, you know, he got betrayed, and he lost his faith, and so he went out on his own, and he created his own organization, which becomes the enemy. He becomes the bad guys. So, which of the main Metal Gear franchise. But anyways, I love your confusion.
It's like a very feigned confusion.
But the thing is that he's a good guy who falls from grace, which makes him interesting.
Yeah.
And so basically the past like 3 or 4 games have all been about him instead of Solid Snake. But anyways, I've lost my train of thought. Watching you try to take
copies. Sorry, I'm not even listening. I'm like, uh-huh. That's nice.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, it's the story of Metal Gear Solid 5 is really grim as fuck. They kind of go overboard. Like they released the Ground Zeroes, which was a playable demo for Metal Gear Solid 5. It's kind of like a taste of what you can do. And the story behind it is it goes a little overboard for me. It kind of just like, you know, some of it feels like grimness or darkness for grimness or darkness' sake. It like doesn't have to be that way, but it just is.
I mean, I thought like the whole series was kind of tongue in cheek, like
It has a lot of that.
Yeah.
It has a lot of meta stuff. Yeah, I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of addresses the player. It kind of is a game that knows it's a game. But, it's just like the story of 4 just kind of went into places that I was very uncomfortable. And so.
Like, what? Like.
Okay, there's a character who has a bomb basically implanted inside her.
Okay.
And they have to get it out of her without anesthesia.
Where is it?
It's like it's embedded in her stomach, so they have to cut her open and get it out. And
that's a metaphor.
And it's this very graphic scene, which was actually edited in the Japanese version, but it was this graphic scene where they basically have to like push aside her innards and pull out this bomb and it's like it's your expression exactly. And I'm just like, I mean, I kind of get that he's trying to show this darkness or this grimness, this seriousness. But I think there were other ways to do it. But the game itself, but again, like, it's so, the story looks grim as fuck, but the gameplay itself has a lot of the trademark sort of funness. So there's this kind of weird dichotomy where it's just this juxtaposition where the story is dark, but the gameplay is lighthearted and fun and cool.
Do the dichotomy symbols again. I'll take a picture.
Oh, God. Yes, this juxtaposition going on here.
Wait.
Yes. I need to wait. Look. I can't. What are you trying to do? Get dead air? Anyways, but. Yes, I'm
sorry.
Scales.
I'm sorry. This is bad.
Yes, this is
very. This is very unprofessional.
Unprofessional, but we're having fun.
Yeah.
But. Okay, what I'm trying to get to actually is that while the gameplay looks really cool, it seems to fall prey to one of the big problems I have with the way Hideo Kojima presents a lot of stuff, in that he shows a lot of cool things you can do.
Yeah.
But you end up I'm forced to ask, like, how often am I actually going to do this? Like, there's a scene where you have a sniper who's at your backup, and what you can do is you can throw a grenade and have them shoot the grenade, and the grenade just, and it projects the grenade.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it hits a helicopter, and the helicopter blows up, and it's really cool. But I'm just like, how many times in the game am I going to do that? I mean, last year, Kojima showed the scene where, like, you're running from a truck, it's chasing you, and you can climb over a cliff and hang from the cliff, and the truck goes over the cliff and, explodes at the bottom. It's really cool. It looks awesome, and you feel like a badass. But again, I'm just like, that's cool, but how many times am I going to do that in the game? Like, every time I'm chased by a truck, am I going to, like, hide over a cliff and, like, make it sail over the edge? And just, like,
why not?
And again, like...
So, like, they were showing
gameplay.
Gameplay last year as well.
Yes. Kojima does that every time. Every TGS, he releases a trailer, a new trailer, which is stuff we haven't seen before, and then he shows gameplay.
So when is this game supposed to come out?
Hopefully next year.
Hmm.
Wait, no, I think he said, did he say 2015 or 2015 or 2016? He actually gave a specific, I can't say. Somebody reported it somewhere. He actually said, like, when the, not, he didn't give a specific date, but he gave a year. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So.
talking so
that's
much,
Metal sure. Gear.
Yes, my throat's
and I'm very, very confused right now. Speaking of Kojima.
Yes.
PT.
Oh, yes. And he brought that up too. Apparently, this is something that's unconfirmed, but he did mention something towards this. Apparently, PT is going to be episodic.
Okay.
So they're going to be releasing it in chunks, like in episodes.
Ah.
Well, I'm sorry, not PT, Silent Hills, the official game that PT is a teaser for.
Yeah.
And they released a trailer. Have you seen it?
The new trailer? School or something?
Yeah, and worms and shit. And like,
yeah, that was
I haven't
good.
Seen it.
It's good.
I haven't seen it.
It's really short.
It. Yeah, I know.
But you know what?
I've avoided it because I can't get through PT.
Well, it's not as scary as PT. It's too much too quickly. So, I mean, the beauty of PT, as we've mentioned, is that it builds up the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's very quiet. And then gets really scary.
And it builds upon itself.
Yeah.
And there's this almost audible tension.
Yeah.
That rises. So.
And
which you just can't get with a trailer.
The trailer has. It looks like it might be either demonstrating what a possible cutscene could look like, or it's a cutscene. It's not gameplay because apparently it's going to be in third person, not first person, like in the
which
playable
makes more
trailer.
Sense.
Yeah, and it's
because why play Norman Reedus when you can't see the back of his head?
Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
Just a side note. I on Monday night I went out drinking in Ebisu and stumbled across a American comic book toy store.
Uh-huh.
And bought two Walking Dead toys. Drunk.
What?
This is what nerds do when they get drunk.
Toy of what? Carl?
I already have Carl. I already have
how you like do that. You sort of roll your jowls as you say that.
Yeah.
Kind of see your jaw moving from side to side as it rolls.
Carl. I got the two, it's like wind-up toys for The Walking Dead, which are really cute.
Zombies?
No. They didn't. Wait, they might have had a zombie, but I got Daryl and Rick. Anyway, so yeah.
No, neither one of them will be those zombies. I don't think Daryl. Not for a while.
Nah, they can't kill Daryl.
They might.
The fans would rebel.
Yeah, I know.
The fans would riot in the streets.
Well, the thing about you've read Walking Dead, well, haven't you?
I just got up to where they're leaving the prison in the comic book. I have to find the rest of it because I just randomly came across a huge volume of it.
I can help you with that.
Oh,
I can help you up to volume 100.
I think I have up to 50 something.
Yeah,
I kind of want to watch the show.
Yeah,
before so yeah. Like where I am in the comic is where the show is.
But yeah, you've from the comic you can see they have no problem killing main characters.
Yeah.
They have absolutely no problem killing off like major characters.
We gotta talk about the comic sometime, but let's get back to Silent Hills.
Yes.
So the clip they show is about a minute and 45 seconds or something, and there are three solid scares, I would say. And yeah.
I've been putting it off because it scares me. It's horror, so.
There's a creature in there that's very Guillermo del Toro.
Okay.
And it's very nightmarish, I think, like the atmosphere, the like visual atmosphere, like the air in the you're not a hallway again, but it looks like it's a preschool or something, and you follow a sorry I just knocked the mic in like excitement. You follow a like little plastic or rubber ball, like a like you see
I've heard of this.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard about this.
And yeah, that's always good. And the giggles of small children in the distance in a creepy dimly lit hall. Fun times. But it's really short. And like I said, it shows you too much too quickly. So it's not PT scary. Okay. Like PT, seriously, I've watched like 10 walkthroughs because I'm a glutton for pain. And every time I'm scared.
Yeah. That shit is.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that Kojima has kind of pulled, going back to Square Enix, he's pulled a Square Enix where he still doesn't have, like, he doesn't have Metal Gear out yet, and he's already moved on to the next thing. And the next thing has kind of gotten a shit ton of attention.
Yeah.
And so he needs to complete Metal Gear first, but that means Silent Hills is going to have to come after that. And that means if it's
2017?
Yeah, 17 or 18, who knows?
Yeah.
But it's going to be a while. And can he keep our attention that long? I mean, he's Kojima. He can probably do it. He's good at doing it.
If he does, like, a viral kind of thing, where things are released that you're like, whoa, what is that? Oh, it's a Silent Hills thing.
Yeah.
That would be fucking creepy.
He's definitely good at doing, like, he is a trickster at heart. You don't need to put a stake through his heart to get rid of him. And
it's some kind of wood from some tree.
With some kind of blood on it or something like that. Anyways.
Yeah.
My supernatural lore is, yeah, supernatural reference.
Let me consult the lore.
Yes. Onto the,
let me call Bobby.
Onto the sort of Google-ish website. But
you mean searchtheweb.com?
Yes. But, yeah, he's good at playing tricks. He loves, like, the whole lead-up to Metal Gear Solid 5 was a whole, like, his own little trick that he was playing. I mean, what was it called again? The whole thing with the Phantom Pain. I mean, like, the release, like, it was released, and the originally was the Phantom Pain was released as a title, but if you looked at it, there were little, like, notches in the letters, and then if you look closely, you could fit Metal Gear Solid into there.
Damn it, Kojima.
And, yeah, but the thing is that's one of his good points and one of his bad points. Mm-hmm. It's like, he's a trickster and he's good at it, but he kind of likes it too much.
Oh.
And he likes to, like, he's a bit of a tease.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know when to stop teasing you. So, like, even my editor, he frustrated the hell out of my editor, because my editor would try to ask him a question once, and he wouldn't answer. He would just, like, and he would, and just, like, just answer the fucking question.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a good, definitely a good marketer of his games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I worry that if he'll be able to pull it off, but I think he'll be able to at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, damn, 2018? Video games take forever!
Yeah.
This is why I don't like video games.
Yeah.
It's like, I wanna see it now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think he's gotten us a little too excited too early with PT. PT just had so much of an impact.
Maybe they didn't anticipate it being like this.
Been taken aback. Like, he was taken aback by how fast people solved it. But again, he's really got a lot of energy put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think he can do a good game. But at the same time, getting back to Tokyo Game Show itself, the Konami booth was not the Konami booth.
Oh.
The Konami booth was the Hideo Kojima booth.
Yeah.
Because it's a sad state of affairs, but Konami, which has done, I mean, a lot of, they've put out a lot of games that have sort of, like, defined certain parts in my life of gaming. Like, they've, the Castlevania series, they did the Tokimeki Memorial series. They defined that genre of, like, the old school, like, stat dating games.
Yeah.
Where you build up stats, and depending on your stats, whether a girl likes you or not, that sort of bullshit.
I wonder, will senpai notice me?
That sort of thing. If I go to school and I do well in athletic girl will notice me, that stuff. But they define that genre. They've had a lot of good stuff, but they've declined a lot. And they've lost a whole lot of stuff. And
what kind of titles do they have now?
Sports titles. The Powerful Pro Baseball series.
See, sports games are games I never ever
liked. They still do have Castlevania.
Make new Castlevania games?
Yes, they do. But you hardly hear about them.
Why?
They're bad at marketing.
Uh-huh.
Hideo Kojima is honestly the only part of Konami that I think is any good at marketing.
Yeah.
They still make Silent Hill games, but damned if I've been interested in one. Like, they haven't marketed them well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
so do you think they brought him on the Silent Hills project to...
It's possible. Yeah. It's possible that he had an idea and he went to them and said, I want to do this, and they really had no other choice but to give it to him.
I wonder how they got Guillermo.
He apparently approached Guillermo. He like approached him in person. And like, wow. He talked to him and like, I've got this idea for a project and like, we've got this, he showed him a demo of what they had. And like, this is my idea. Are you, would you like it? You know, it's like.
And he goes, see.
Yeah, see. And he also said, and like, apparently he called up Norman Reedus on the spot. Like, he basically killed him, and.
Oh, cause that's what one does.
Yeah.
Let me call up.
Norman.
Norm. I call him Mark. But you can call him Norman.
Let me call him Reedus.
Reedus.
But yeah, apparently he called him up and said, like, would you be interested in, basically Norman said, sure, just go, we'll work.
Don't you mean he took a swig of whiskey, inhaled his cigarette.
Put away his crossbow and said, sure.
Said. I'll talk to you later, babe. I gotta take this call. Yeah, Guillermo, I'll do it. But scratched his balls and put on his jacket and jumped on the motorcycle and drove all the way to Hollywood.
Yeah, because he's Norman Reedus.
I bet he lives in like this really nice house and he has like a little like dachshund or something.
I'm sure he's,
And his wife is like really nice. I'm just like picturing him as this dirty, disgusting,
badass biker.
Who, by the way, is coming to Tokyo in December.
He's definitely probably going to end up talking about BT.
Yeah, he's coming. I think he's coming like his... Well, it's the Hollywood Collectors Convention. So it's like a toy, mostly toys, but like also Western, like... movies and TV and stuff, so
they're probably gonna pester him about BT.
Oh yeah,
Silent Hills. I keep calling it BT because that's what everyone talks about.
Yeah, so there's gonna be Norman, the guy who played Shane on Walking Dead. Who, come on, no one's gonna want
to. You're gonna remember him as Shane.
A
second season, he had a great arc. Honestly, in my opinion,
you went full Shane. Don't ever go full Shane. and the third guest that's been announced is none other than the holy tax accountant, Misha Collins. And, I'll be there.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, sorry, Mom and Dad, I can't come back for Christmas.
I'm in prison.
Misha Collins, you understand.
I'm in prison because I tried to hug Misha Collins. They say I tried to hug him, but I tried to do more. Anyways.
No, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who goes by Scott Summers on Facebook. Yeah, he's still going by. He still hasn't changed it back.
No, because you can't. You have to keep it like that for like 3 months or something like
3 months?
Yeah, I forgot.
I thought it was like weeks or something, but...
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Maybe he just kept it. yeah, but...
I still think it's awesome, but...
We were like...
He needs to Photoshop, like, beams coming out of his eyes.
He had, like, a picture of...
Cyclops.
Of Cyclops for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had this discussion.
Yes.
I would fuck Misha Collins, but I wouldn't like it. That's what I settled on. Because at first I said I wouldn't. But then I said I would. But I wouldn't like it. Well, I'm professional.
You don't know until you've tried it, so...
That's what I keep saying in all my fan letters to Jared Padalecki. And you know what? He hasn't responded to a single one.
He's too busy pumping iron. And
looking at himself.
And shining.
Shh, that's the secret.
Shining his head. But,
all right. Anyway, other news from the Tokyo Game Show.
This is kind of going into... Well, we're kind of going... We've gone for about an hour, so we're sort of winding down. But this goes into the part where Toshi's going to have to heavily edit shit because, going back to Square Enix, the whole thing with Square Enix, this was a very, very interesting... I posted about this on Facebook. I don't know if you noticed it because I just said it briefly. But two video game blogs kind of... It was very interesting. That's all I can say about it.
Okay.
It was interesting. The Schadenfreude in me was like jumping with glee and like wringing my hands and giggling. And
other people's pain is my pleasure.
I was giggling like crazy because, Square Enix, the announcement for the Final Fantasy XV trailer, the new one which I showed you, mm-hmm. The really badass one that looks awesome,
we'll post that on the Twitter.
It's definitely worth seeing. They had an embargo on it. And the way embargoes work is that, they release this information or they give you a video game and say, mm-hmm. you can review it, but please don't talk about it until this day. They gave us people the trailer and said, you're not allowed to talk about it until like 10 a.m. Japan time when TGS starts.
Okay.
You can't talk about it. And so we waited until that time to release the information, like the trailer and all that stuff. Well, some game blogs got a little bit hasty.
Oh, they jumped the gun.
They jumped the gun, and they burned that bridge.
Oh, shit. How early did they
post? They posted like a day early or something.
Ooh.
And because they did it, I forget which sites was it, which sites it was, but we reported on what they reported. That allowed us to report on what they reported. And my editor found, when he found out about it, and he told the guys who were on the shift at the time, was like, post it, but definitely get a screen cap of their post mm-hmm. and post it, like, show that they did it, we didn't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could smell the bridge burning.
Ooh.
Square.
You smell that? That's the bridge
and,
burning.
Yeah, I think one of them was like, the other, I forget what the other one was, but like two, and so another one posted some more shit that was not supposed to come out.
Yeah.
And they posted that, and so again, bridge burned with Square Enix. So it was, yeah, I went with my editor and another writer. The three of us went to TGS, and we were kind of smirking through the whole thing.
So why'd they jump the gun like that? Did misunderstand the date and time?
Either human error. I love it when they say it's either human error or mechanical error. It's, so what is it? I think that was the explanation they actually gave. There was like, it was either human error or mechanical error or something like that, but it's just like, so you fucked up. But
yeah. Sorry, we fucked up.
Yeah. Either someone got a little over-anxious and just wanted and got hyped up and wanted to break the news first, or when they were editing their posts, they got the time wrong. Either one is possible. But
wouldn't they have like taken it down immediately?
Oh yeah, they did.
Oh,
it was gone. Yeah, by after we when we reported it, like within a half hour or so, it was gone. And so we had to update our posts. Like it's gone. Yeah. So like, but we still had the screen cap of it.
Yeah, right.
And we still had the information that they released, so we could actually write about that, saying like they reported this and this. They reported this and this. So yeah, Square Enix is not happy with those two sites. So they're not going to be.
When you burn a bridge in Japan,
it does not. Yeah, with a Japanese company, a bridge with a Japanese company, it does not.
That is Moshiwake gozaimasen.
Yeah,
so, inexcusable.
So yeah, actually, so what happened was afterwards on the first public day. So this happened on I think the first press day, but on the first public day, the day before that, somebody came up to us. This is a part where I won't edit anything, but. Somebody came up to us and said, by the way, you may want to see tomorrow's Square Enix Type Zero announcement.
Okay.
You may want to see that. Something interesting might happen. You might want to see that. And none of the other news sites got this information.
Hmm.
We got it because when we signed a contract not to say something, we didn't. And apparently that paid off.
Yeah.
And so somebody came up to us and said, you might want to go to this thing. You might want to go to it.
Yeah.
Even if you're not interested, you might want to go to it. So we actually got the very first footage of actual gameplay of Final Fantasy XV. Because they pulled a surprise. Yeah. They pulled a surprise and showed us. They were going to talk about Type-0 HD, but halfway through it they said, a lot of people have been saying that like the trailers don't look like in-game stuff. They say, like, it all looks like pre-cut, cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually brought a playable demo here. And they showed us, like, actual in-game stuff.
Awesome.
And we got the footage from that. And we got to put it up first. So that made us very happy. So yeah, there's all these backdoor stuff going on in these game stuffs. One of the notorious ones that I know of was a very famous game company, fairly famous in the West. They recently released a AAA game. They burned a massive bridge. Mm-hmm. I've wanted to talk about this for a long time. You know what? I'm going to edit the fuck out of this. I'm going to name names.
Oh, shit. Okay.
This is going to get edited the fuck out of this book.
So there's going to be a lot of bleeping.
A lot of scratches, stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay. But so, I'll know.
So, have you ever heard of...
No.
Okay, they've released some very... they're responsible for a lot of action games. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of...
Yes.
The series. They're responsible for that. They're responsible for... they're responsible for... They're responsible for... shit names escape me. But they used to...
Shit names escape me is my favorite game
anyways,
of all time.
But they used to publish a lot from... sorry, they didn't publish. A lot of their games used to be published by...
Mm-hmm.
And then all of us, and was one of the big ones. And all of, when it came to making a sequel, all of a sudden the sequel just came out, but it's on, and it's published by, and nobody has really noticed this, or like a lot of people are like, what's going on?
I saw an ad.
Yeah,
in Shibuya Station.
But yeah. So what happened was, this is gonna get heavily bleeped. What happened was. One was basically saying, you know, when's two coming out? They basically paid I think like half the development fees up front, and they said, well, okay, E3 is coming up. We want to, you know, what have you got for us for two? And you know, basically said, oh, well, we've got a trailer. And Take Two was like, we want something that's playable. Give us something that's playable. And you know, they're like. This is all we've got is like a trailer. That's all we can do. And lo and behold, E3 comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this huge trailer for it's published by it's on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And so goes, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Apparently, as it turns out, is they took the development fee, the development money they'd gotten for two and used it all on developing.
Isn't that illegal somehow?
It happens apparently. Like it happened with Aliens Colonial Marines. Apparently, from what I've been told, I think Jeff talked about it on Rage Select. But apparently, I think the developers of Aliens Colonial Marines like. They gave them the money to develop it, and then they used it for something else, and like they didn't have money, and then so the game that came out was crap. But anyways, yeah, so they did that, so they burned that bridge with hardcore. They are never wants nothing to do with ever again.
I don't understand. Like, sorry, that sounds really illegal.
It sounds
to me.
It's really
like misdirecting funds or something.
I think they didn't have like. It may have been a loophole in the contract or something like that. They may have exploited. I'm not 100% sure. All I know is that's kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have said that it's his fault. Like, oh, their loss. You know, they had this great franchise and they fucked it up. They got fucked.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Who could blame them?
Yeah.
So, where's that company going to go now?
What happened was, so still had the rights to the series. Mm-hmm. They still had the rights to the series, but they were like, we want nothing to do with these guys anymore. And they tried to, you know, they sold, you know, basically they're looking to anybody who would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody like, you know, that will sell it cheap. We do not want this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, picked it up. And so, I think they released one more game, I think. Was it for? I think. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to look that up, but I can't talk about it because it would give far too much away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they released one more game for like the and then they moved over to the and so they released after that they released which was for the and then they've released two which for the which is all in all it's not a bad game. I've looked at it, I've seen the gameplay, I've actually seen it to completion, and it looks like a lot of fun, and it has all the trademarks hallmarks, but just having that baggage, knowing that I can't in good conscience like buy the game. It's just like knowing that shit went on.
Yeah.
And I actually talked to the guy. I went to an interview with them for an upcoming game that they announced at E3. And they definitely seemed very enthusiastic about it. But at the same time, it was really interesting because they had nothing. All they had was like a screenshot and they had a trailer. And then it like... And they thought sounded very earnest, and like I said, like the overall atmosphere of this year's TGS was very, very enthusiastic, and I felt that enthusiasm. But at the same time, like I kind of felt, this is what happened before. Like the fact that like they have all they have to show is basically PR. They all they had was basically stuff they could tell us what this game was going to be, but they had nothing to show. So that was a very interesting. They're actually working on one more game, I think, the game.
Wow.
Yeah. But they're never going to publish. It's never going to publish for them again.
Never. Bridge burned.
Yeah, so that's a story of bridges being burned.
Yeah.
Hardcore. And so, so like this past stuff with the other companies and Square Enix, I don't know when that's going to blow over. I don't know if it's ever going to blow over. But you can be fairly certain that Square Enix is not going to give them anything for a while.
And that's a huge company you don't want to piss off.
Yeah, especially in Japan.
Yeah.
Actually, my editor managed to... I don't know. Okay, this part I'm going to cut. But I'm going to tell you about this.
Yay!
You know what? Just so I don't make a mistake and accidentally leave it in.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to pause this. No, we cannot talk about that.
What time do you want to go for?
So we've been going on for over an hour now. I think we're kind of running late on this episode this week, but that was because of Tokyo Game Show. I'm sorry.
But that's great. Everybody needs to know. Everybody needs to know.
So, we've only talked about, like, Final Fantasy and Metal Gear and Silent Hills, but there was a lot of stuff, really interesting stuff. It actually made me hopeful, and actually, like, for gaming in Japan.
So there is hope.
Yeah. I mean, I'd kind of, like, just... Everything's moving... Like I said earlier, everything's moving to the West, you know, gaming in Japan has gone on, you know, downward spiral. We're circling the drain. Eventually, like, everybody's going to be outsourced into the West. And there's going to be Western games everywhere. Nothing truly, you know, only, like, maybe there'll be indie games, but there'll be nothing on the console that's, like, really worth playing from Japan. But that really, I mean, that's kind of talking extremes, but it kind of felt like that was the eventual, where we're headed. We're not there yet, but that felt like we're going down that way. But this year was honestly really awesome. A
glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
So what game that's coming out this year are you looking forward to the most?
Wow, that's a hard one, because honestly the game I'm looking forward to is Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, but that's like 2000.
That's 2015, they're going to be releasing a demo. They don't want us, honestly, like the director Tabata has said he does not want to keep us waiting.
Yeah.
But the game is like 50 to 60% done. All the heavy lifting is done. All that's left is just basically fill it out, make it better.
Yeah.
So it's coming out. Like, for a while it was vaporware. Nobody knows. Like, when's it going to come out? Nobody knows.
But it's definitely coming out.
But it's definitely coming out. And I'm honestly looking forward to it now. Or I wasn't. But for this year, I'm actually kind of looking forward to Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed Sexism. you've heard about that, right?
Yeah. You can't make female characters
because of bullshit reasons, which are honestly the reasons they gave were honestly bullshit. But the Assassin's, I've had a sort of on and off relationship with the Assassin's Creed series. It kind of like it clicks sometimes, but sometimes I'm just like there's a whole lot of grinding that I really don't like. I recently cleared Watch Dogs, which got a huge bad rap because of the graphics quality was not what they showed, not what they advertised initially. Uh-huh. When they first showed, like, the demos of it at E3, like, 2 years or 3 years ago, everyone was like, holy shit, this is the future. And then the game actually came out, and graphically, it did not look as good.
Hmm.
And there was a very obvious downgrade, and the game was basically Assassin's Creed in modern day. It wasn't very revolutionary in its gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was some fun stuff, like you got to be a hacker, you get to, like, you know, when you're getting chased, you can hit a button, and then, like, you know, traffic signals will change, and they'll cause an accident, stuff like that.
Wow.
But it wasn't as revolutionary as we'd hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, playing it, I never bought into the hype. Like, I never got on the hype wagon of, like, this is going to be awesome and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I was just like, it looks like an interesting game. I think, you know, I might like it. And, you know, it's a big PS4 release. You know, there are not that many games on the PS4. Let's get it. And I got it. And honestly, I had fun.
That's so all Watch I had. Dogs.
Yeah. This year, a game I'm looking forward to. This is kind of a cheat. Grand Theft Auto 5 HD.
Okay.
Grand Theft Auto 5, I've already played it. It already came out. I've already cleared it. But the HD version looks awesome. So that's what I'm excited for. So. What game are you excited for, Sarah?
I don't know. Parcheesi? Chess?
Chess Master. When's the last time they brought one of those out? Remember that?
I think they actually...
The old wizard looking over the chessboard?
I think they make them still. Like, and sell them for like $5 at Walmart or something like that.
The
PC. But I don't know. No, I don't know. I mean, I wish I had the patience and the money and the time to game, but I don't anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that was kind of a cheat answer, especially when I was saying, like, Japanese gaming is so much better now.
Western games.
In terms of Japanese games, honestly looking forward to, maybe Final Fantasy Explorers. That looks like a fun, community game. Mm-hmm. It's basically Final Fantasy, the Monster Hunter version. But, that looks fun. Damn it! There was another game I was thinking of.
Shit,
but it's
gone. Damn it is a good game.
Yes. It takes place in a toilet. And, no. Sorry. Did I make you spit?
Is there a toilet sim game? I feel like there should be, or there is.
There are games that, like, there. Not off the top of my head, but, like, there are games that have stuff with toilets.
I know, I was watching a playthrough of South Park Stick of Truth. And you have to shit.
Yeah.
At points.
And there's a mini game involving shitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Charming.
Yep. But Japanese games. Not this year. I'm looking forward to Yakuza 0. That's, again, not this year, though. Japanese games.
A dating sim.
You know, honestly. Okay, here's a weird question. What's your favorite game?
Well, I haven't played a lot of games.
Have you ever played? Yeah. Well, listen to me.
I could probably list all the games I played on my hands.
Of those, what's your favorite?
Probably Ocarina of Time.
Okay. My favorite video game of all time is Langrisser 3. It's a game that probably nobody's heard of except for, like, the massive, massive, like, fanboy fans of that game. Very obscure. It's a niche game. It's for the Sega Saturn.
Oh, wow.
And
retro.
Yeah. It was not a real-time strategy, but it was a tactical RPG.
Mm-hmm.
But, what I'm trying to get to is that game series went to, like, they made up to, like, 5 games. There was a 6th game that came out that had nothing to do with this previous series before. It was kind of shit. But the team that made that series moved on to a new series, of pretty much a full-on RPG series called Growlancer. And I really wish they'd put another one.
It's all Japanese?
Yeah.
What's the series called?
Langrisser. It's the Langrisser is basically the name of this holy sword. It's kind of like the Excalibur. It was a tactical RPG. Series, and the third one, for some reason, was just like this, was very different. But the story, I love the game, but it's completely unplayable if you leave the settings on, like, the default settings.
Yeah.
Because when this is getting far too in-depth, but when units fight, it has this, like, this 3D, it tried to utilize 3D, which the Saturn was no good at.
Yeah.
So it had this, like, bullshit 3D sort of cutscene, but it was buggy as fuck.
Yeah.
So, like, battles between units could take, like, if it freaks out, it, like, takes 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, between individual units. And there's all these units all over the map. So, like, if you are really unlucky, a single stage, a single scenario could take, like, over an hour. And this game had, like, 30-something scenarios in it or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah. But, so you had to turn off the settings. You had to turn off the cutscenes. But if you did that, the game played great.
Oh, that's always a good review to give.
Yeah, but, it's really weird. It's a shit game, but it's a great game if you turn off the most advertised settings.
And that's your favorite game.
It is my favorite game.
All right.
But, I really wish they'd put out another one, but...
Let's write a letter.
Not gonna happen. I think the team was eventually bought up by Atlas, and after the Growlancer 6, I think, they stopped making them. They have not made one
in how many years?
Well, the last one came on the PlayStation 2.
So yeah. Early 2000s?
Yeah. So wow. Early to mid-2000s, they have not put out one for the PlayStation 3 or 4. They did port the first one and the third one to the PSP.
But mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Growlancer series was a lot of fun. I wish they'd bring that back. Anyways, that was a JRPG that made me proud that Japan was making RPGs like that. So
bring it back. Yes. You hear that?
Yeah.
Japan.
So in my mind, that fantasy world I run away to, the game I'm looking forward to most this year is Next Growlancer.
But anyway. That fantasy world where Norman Reedus comes in on a motorcycle.
No, you just comes. That's all you need to say. Anyways.
Norman.
So that's been the week the Wayward Podcast for this episode. We were talking video games. You know, we should like schedule these in advance and like post on Twitter or stuff like the topic of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
so
people get a chance to actually do that.
Ask specific questions. So
we can
because it would have been nice.
Sorry, I like couldn't talk and scratch my eye at the same time. I was like, we could radio silence.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean,
because it would have been nice to have a lot of like. Very specific video game centric questions that we could answer, but
well, next time we'll be recording when the Supernatural season 10 episode 1 premieres.
So
I just sounded like a Star Trek nerd. Season 10 episode 1.
Oh goody! Oh,
entitled joy. Black.
Oh joy!
Oh.
Anyways.
Oh joy.
I guess we could
talk about. That, and we could talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yes. Shit, forgot to mention that. Yeah.
Because we've both seen that. I'm probably going to go see it again.
Oh.
So, I guess those are the topics.
So, if anybody has questions about those, they could send them to waywardpodcast.
waywardpodcast@gmail.com or Twitter @waywardpodcast.
All one word. So, this week, I really gotta stop doing that.
This 2 weeks.
This episode, it's my turn for the outro music.
It's my turn!
It's my turn, damn it! I've kind of been doing kind of rock or kind of pop music, mm-hmm. music a lot. I thought I'd kind of go a little more laid back, a little more quieter.
Turn it down for the more mature listeners in the audience.
So for you folks at home, do my radio, or I could do my Casey Kasem voice. Yeah. No, I can't.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Damn it, I can't.
That's
I like to think that I'm good at mimicking people, but I can't do a Casey Kasem.
I'm pretty good at mimicking people's tone. But, like, obviously, I can't do a man's voice.
I'm good at mimicking people when I'm not on mic.
Don't put me on the spot. I can't do it. Nobody look at me. Actually, I turn invisible when no one's looking at me.
What was that? I've heard of that.
Mystery men.
Thank you.
Actually, I said it, and I thought I was being original, and I immediately remembered, oh.
Mystery men.
Mystery men, which, I thought it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah. No, I
love it. It's pretty funny.
That's I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure for me, because I honestly love it, and I enjoy it a lot, and like, I think people who think it's shit are crazy.
So. I think if it came out now, it would be a huge hit.
Yeah. It'd be kind of like Galaxy Quest. For me,
I love that movie.
Yeah, for me, it's like Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So anyway,
I think also like one of the reasons that people don't seem to like it is they don't seem to like Ben Stiller. But I'm neutral on Ben Stiller.
I like Zoolander.
I'm neutral on Ben Stiller. So. Mr. Furious. he gets really mad. So, anyways, God, we got sidetracked from one there.
Yeah. We were trying to say goodbye. Goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. But I'd like to go out on a sort of quieter song. This is from the late 80s, early 90s. It's from a group, I guess you could call it a duo. Well, it's a group called Princess.
I've heard of them.
Yes. It's the song M. So it's a very quiet, sort of sentimental song that I'd like to go out on. So this has been the Wayward Podcast. I'm Toshi.
I'm Zara.
And we'll see you next time. Random question, but this is going back to the very first episode of the very first season. Do you remember the Jim Carrey zombie?
No.
Okay. Watch that episode again, like around the time when why is the main character's name escaping?
Rick,
thank you. Rick Grimes. When he's in in the city and is getting surrounded. And like he's walking through the city on the horse, and there's slowly zombies are slowly noticing.
Yeah.
One of the zombies looks like Jim Carrey.
I gotta look this up.
it's the last like 10 minutes of the very first episode. Not that hard to find, but like now that I've said it, you won't be able to unsee it.
Is it like a thing like people know?
I don't know, but just there's like because I heard one of the other guys on one of the other podcasts mention it. I was just like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like one of the zombies. Looks like Jim Carrey, and it's just
zombie.
Like
zombie. Let's see.
I don't know if anything's gonna come up on a Google search or anything, but just like
zombie from The Walking Dead totally looks like Jim Carrey.
Holy shit!
This one?
Yes. the way it shambles and stuff like that.
It totally is.
Okay, so I'm not the only one who noticed that.
It totally is.